This podcast is brought to you by Towncast Studios. What's Towncast Studios? Why, that's a great question. Towncast Studios is all about creating hyper-local content. Podcasts, video, social media, blogs, and more, telling the stories and sharing the sounds and the sights and the views and the opinions of your community. Imagine a podcast highlighting the new restaurant that just popped up in the neighborhood, or a YouTube video showcasing the redesigned kids' playground near your home, or someone who's sharing all that really important information that came out of the school board meeting, or a place where your mayor or town council are telling you what's new, what's exciting, what's changing, what's under construction, so that you can stay informed. And just imagine having a place where you know what's going on from voices that you can trust. Now imagine you were that trusted voice. Here at Towncast Studios, we're going to help you launch, edit, produce, and publish content that will tell the stories of your community, or what we're calling Towncast. So if you're interested in learning more about how to Towncast or what a Towncast is, head on over to towncaststudios.com or check out our new Towncast podcast at towncastpodcast.com and get started telling the stories of your community today.
Welcome back to the Towncast podcast. I'm Joe Gangemi, but you can call me Towncast Joe. So, we're 15 episodes into the Towncast podcast. If you've been following along, you have your podcast format figured out, your topics nailed down, you know who your target audience is, and you have your show's elements in place. Your show's ready to take off. All that's left to do now is, well, record it. If you're not so fortunate as to live close to a Towncast Studios location, or another studio space, you will likely have to set up a recording space in your home or somewhere else with suitable, usable, good-sounding space. Most people are able to set up a decent-sounding space somewhere in their home. One quick thing I'd like to mention before we get into the nitty-gritty of all this is that it may be tempting to take the cheapest route possible and record a voice memo on your phone in your bedroom. While current technology is remarkable and can produce really good sounding audio and great looking video, we really recommend taking great care in the quality of these aspects. Chances are, by this point, you've put a bit of work into planning your show, and it would be a shame to begin recording and have the content suffer because it wasn't recorded as well as it could have been. One of the biggest mistakes a lot of creators make early on is not taking the time to set up their recording space for optimal quality. And this can deter listeners early on. And once that happens, it can be hard to get them to give your show another chance. So, much better to start out with decent sounding space and do the best you can in this regard. And I have some good news. You don't need to break the bank to create a good sounding space. And I'm going to help you set something up for yourself. Okay, Acoustics 101. I'm going to try to keep this simple, but I'm a bit of an audio and acoustics nerd, so we'll see how that goes. Sound is a form of energy. Physically, sound can be visualized as a wave. Just like a wave in the ocean, different sound waves have their peaks, their troughs, their different shapes, sizes, and speeds. Kind of like water, sonic energy travels through molecules and is manipulated or altered based on a number of different factors. There are many physical implications of what that means, but all you need to know is that sound can be controlled, it can be contained, and relatively easily, and cheaply. What we generally perceive to be good sound is really just sound that is A, captured in high quality and true to its source, and B, low in reflections, echoes, or reverberations. So our goals, put simply, are to capture the sound source, i.e. your voice, at a high rate of accuracy. For this, we want a decent microphone that can help to capture your voice for the unique instrument that it is. Let's talk about sound treatment for a bit. If you Google home podcast recording space, there's a lot of people telling you to stuff yourself in a closet with a laptop and a microphone. I'm here to tell you that this is probably not necessary. The idea with recording in a closet is that the layers of clothes in the relatively tight space serve as excellent sound dampers. It's true, they do, and closets can sound great. But unless you're recording stuff like professional voiceovers, audiobooks, or an interview for, say, NPR with crazy recording quality standards, then setting up in your closet is probably not what you need to do. Good news, because it's probably not very comfortable either. I will say that if you happen to have a walk-in closet with carpeted floors and clothes lining the wall, then it could actually be a great option. So now we need to cover the second part of the equation I mentioned earlier, limiting the echoes and reverberations in your recording space. How do we do that? Well, we're going to need to find a good space for you to record in, one which will naturally sound good. Basically, we want to soften as many surfaces as possible. The softer a surface is, the better. That's a good way to look at it. So think carpets instead of hardwood flooring. Think acoustic ceiling tile rather than drywall. Think curtains rather than just flat walls. Also, anything soft or irregularly shaped that you can fill your space with is good. That's why closets are so good for recording. They're filled with layers of soft clothing that are also not flat. The sound is literally being disrupted, slowed, and broken down by these soft materials before they can hit the solid surface and bounce back into your microphone. That's what an echo is. So let's simplify this. You want a room that meets the following criteria: carpeted floors, minimal windows and doors, curtains are good along the walls, as are bookshelves, furniture is good, art on the walls, anything really to break up flat surfaces and add soft, irregular surfaces in there. Try to find a room that is inherently quiet, so not close to any loud traffic, loud people, or noisy air conditioning. And be sure to do everything you can to keep quiet, besides the speaking, of course. So no noisy clothes or jewelry, and don't do what I do sometimes and tap the table or touch the mic. Let's get you a good microphone. There are a few different types of mics out there. Dynamic mics are very popular, affordable, and durable. Singers like to use them on stage because they can take a hit and keep going. While most dynamics usually don't capture audio at quite the same capability as a condenser, which we'll discuss shortly, they make up for it with their other benefits. As far as dynamic mics go, I'd recommend the Samson Q2U. There's a bundle pack available that I'm going to link in the show notes, and this bundle is great for many reasons. Not only is the microphone itself just a great value dynamic microphone, but this bundle comes with a mic stand. It comes with two cables, one XLR, one USB, plus it comes with a windscreen. Talk about bang for your buck. Condenser mics are the other popular type of microphone. They are more sensitive in the sense that they are able to capture a wider frequency range and will generally do a better job of capturing your voice and the way that it really sounds. One characteristic of condenser mics to be aware of is that they do require phantom power. What is phantom power? It's a supplemental 48-volt power supply that many condenser mics, if not all, need to be operational and able to capture audio. Most interfaces, which we'll get to in a moment, have a phantom power button. It looks like a little lightning bolt, or sometimes it will simply say 48 volts. If you're using a condenser mic that requires phantom power, you'll want to make sure that this button is engaged on the recording channel when you go to record. Otherwise, your recording may not record at all. Condenser mics are pretty great for podcasting in a studio setting. Their sound quality is generally very good, and if you pick the right one, they don't have to break the bank. A solid condenser mic for you to check out would be the Audio-Technica AT2020 cardioid condenser mic. I'll link that in the show notes. But honestly, I think the Samson Q2U bundle is the way to go in terms of pure value. If you're just getting started, I don't know if you can do any better than that. The whole bundle at the time of this recording is around $60, and that is just crazy. So, you're going to need a computer. Laptops are great because of the portability, but if you have your recording space set up in one place anyway, a desktop totally works. I don't have any specific recommendations for this, per se. For what you'll likely be doing as a podcaster, you don't need a heavy-duty machine. Personally, I prefer to use my MacBook for the portability and the syncing capabilities with my iPhone, but there are plenty of options out there. Consider your needs and then do a bit of research and find something that fits your budget. Let's talk about interfaces or recording devices, right? You need to somehow record this audio. You need to capture it. Having a microphone isn't enough. You need a way to record this audio. In most cases, you're going to want to buy something that you can plug multiple microphones into, set the levels, and then record externally to something like an SD card or another external hard drive. Zoom makes some nice products, not to be confused with the Zoom video conferencing platform. Different company. But the Zoom I'm talking about, those that make recording devices, have a wonderful piece of hardware called the Zoom P4. This thing was made for podcasting. For just under $150 at the time of this recording, you get four XLR inputs, individual gain controls for each, four 1/8-inch headphone jacks. You even get some built-in vocal processing features. There are four phantom power switches so that you can use condenser mics here. It can run on batteries, two AA batteries to be exact. And in my experience, the P4 can run for over 3 hours of straight recording before the batteries start to get low. It can also run on USB power. It even has a TRRS jack for patching in someone who wants to join the conversation over the phone. And that's not all. You also get four sound pads that you can load with whatever audio clips you want. This means, ostensibly, that you could load a clip of your theme music onto one of those sound pads on the Zoom P4, begin recording with up to three other people, four total, and record an entire podcast live to tape. It's hard to think of a better option than the Zoom P4 for most podcasting endeavors just starting out. It's sleek and portable, the features are plenty, and for all you get, the price is pretty incredible. I'll have a link to the Zoom P4 in the show notes. And definitely worth noting, there are some cases where you don't really need an interface, such as if you're recording at a studio, such as Towncast Studios, where everything you need is already there. You just show up with your content and do your thing using the professional gear that's already there and set up. Actually, in this case, you wouldn't need any of the stuff mentioned in this episode. Another instance in which you wouldn't need an interface or a recording device is if you're recording monologue material, that is solo stuff, and you were using a USB-powered microphone, like a Blue Yeti. Something that plugs directly into your computer and is able to capture audio that way. But if you're planning to have one or multiple co-hosts or interview guests frequently, basically any show in which you'll have multiple people live in your recording space, it's a good idea to invest in an audio recording device. Let's talk about headphones. Do yourself a favor and pick up a pair of headphones. You could use things like AirPods or earbuds, certainly, but I recommend getting yourself a good pair of closed-ear headphones. Why do I say closed-ear headphones? Well, if you get open-ear headphones and you're recording, the sound of your headphones can be picked up in your mic and create some weird feedback. It sounds bad. Plus, it can be distracting if you have other people recording with you. My favorite pair of headphones for a podcast or just starting out would be the Audio-Technica M20Xs. They're only $49, and honestly, I use them all the time. I'll have a few links to some different pairs of headphones in the show notes as well. Let's talk recording software. Audio is recorded through what's called a DAW, colloquially referred to as a DAW. This acronym stands for Digital Audio Workstation. Within these software programs, you can record, edit, and process audio. There are many different programs out there. Some particularly good ones for podcasting include Adobe Audition, Reaper, and Hindenburg. All of these require some payment, either a one-off payment or a monthly subscription. But the one I'll recommend in this episode is called Audacity. It's free, open-source software, available on both PCs and Macs. It's really a great way to get into the world of audio recording. In the show notes, I'll include a link to download Audacity, as well as a helpful YouTube video to get you set up to start recording within Audacity. So, a few more things to consider. First of all, I would say, don't get a headset. While they may seem convenient, the inherent movement that comes with wearing a headset makes for a high probability of noise that could easily be avoided by not using a headset. These clicks and these rattles and things like that are very hard, if not impossible, to remove in post-production, and you could just as easily avoid that by just not getting a headset and getting yourself a mic that sits on a stand and is not subject to constant motion. Tip number two on that note would be to get some sort of a mic stand, a windscreen, and if possible, a shock mount for your mic. Don't hold or touch the mic once you get situated. Some people use a short mic stand that can sit right on their table. Some use a taller mic stand. Others use an articulating arm that clamps onto a table. The choice here is yours. But generally what you want to do is get the mic situated so that you're comfortable, and then don't touch it during recording, because even the softest touch can be picked up on a mic. Tip number three is you're probably going to want to get an external hard drive to store your recorded files on. When you're first starting out, you should be good for a while with an external hard drive with a capacity of, say, 256 gigs. These hard drives can be in the form of a USB thumb drive or a larger box shape that plugs into your computer. Make sure you get a hard drive that works with your computer's connection capabilities. Next tip is a big one. Don't forget cables. Unless you're going with a USB-powered mic that comes with a USB cable, you're going to need XLR cables for each mic you're using. 99% of microphones require an XLR connection, and you're going to need to pick up some of those cables. I recommend having one for each mic that you're going to be using. You can buy these on Amazon or at your local music store. A generic brand cable will do, and no need to buy one that's too long. Consider your recording setup and buy a cable that will make the distance. The bonus takeaway for this episode can be found in the show notes. I'm going to have a bunch of links to some great gear to get your podcast going. And that'll do it for this episode of the Towncast Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you found this helpful. Please share with a friend if you think that they too could learn from this, and maybe you two could start a podcast together. Who knows? See you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Towncast Podcast. I'm Joe Gangemi, aka Towncast Joe, and on behalf of Matthew Passy and everyone here at Towncast Studios, we appreciate your support. With the Towncast Podcast, we hope to provide value to you, the listener, by educating, entertaining, and enlightening on the potential of what podcasting and towncasting can be. We really believe it can change the world for the better. If you want to keep up with Towncast, you can subscribe to the Towncast Podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can also connect with us on social, and feel free to send us a message anytime via towncastpodcast.com. So, I'll see you on the next one, Towncasters. Until then, keep on sharing the sounds of your community.